Hi, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio on Here's the Bad News, the first day of autumn 2021. Yes, it is fall, September 21st, 2021. Summer is now behind us. Okay, so get out your rakes to do the leaves and all that sort of thing. All right, but we're going to start it off with a bang today here on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio with my good friends from IZZIT.org. We're going to talk about civics awareness and wish them a happy quinceanera. Okay, they're now 15 years old. Okay, a little cultural approbation there, but that's okay. Okay, it's a nice celebration. All right, 15 years old, my good friends over at isit.org, one of the best free resources out there. Okay, it's that simple. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, which is also the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And you can see our wonderful magazine, which is called, it's an online journal called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's just terrific. We're very proud of it and everything we do for equity, just like the folks at IZIT and what they do. And again, they are all about equity because everything they do is free. And it's free to you for K-12 educators. Please check it out over at isit.org. I'll let them do most of the explaining. Let me just say to both Susan and Dean, buenos dias and happy quinceanera. You're 15 years old.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome, buddy.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome, Susan. How are you guys? How you doing, Susan?
I am doing very, very well. Actually walking inside right now, so give me
I can hear your voice going up and down. Yeah. Settle in. I'm going to say hello to Dean, okay? Dean Graciano, yeah. Everybody, their VP. Just go settle down, Susan. It's okay. Dean, you there?
I am, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, buddy. Happy 15th. You know, when I met you, you looked a lot older than that.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Larry. Yeah, no, it's just been a... It's been great. I came on board a little over a year ago.
Yeah.
Great is just hearing that, you know, 15 years we've been in the market sharing some resources, and I'm very proud to be part of it.
You should be, and you do a great job over there, almighty VP of Education. And I got to tell you something else. Okay, you know, you guys, we talk about equity here all the time, and the products that you guys, the resources, I should say, that you guys give, okay, to every student everywhere, free of no charge. Your teachers are smart enough, and they should be, to tap into it, no catch. Okay, everybody, IZZIT, isit.org. You guys should be congratulated on the good work that you do. I mean it, Dean.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I mean it to you too, Susan. Are you settled now?
I am settled. Thank you so much, Larry.
Okay. Everybody, that's Susan Gable. Susan is the Director of Education over at isit.org, an elementary school teacher in both Jersey and Pennsylvania. She's in Erie, PA, that diagonal opposite to my hometown of Philadelphia. And I always love to say that she is also, and we're going to plug it again, a USA Today, the newspaper, best-selling author. What did you write? Let's just do that. Let's do that first.
So I have a trilogy. Well, I have four romance novels out, and was the second in a trilogy. A Hero to Keep, A Family to Keep, and A Promise to Keep is a trilogy.
Are you writing any more? Is there a fourth one coming down the pike?
Or a new
trilogy?
Maybe
that's
a better
way to put it.
One of these days. Well, I do have the fourth book does have a sequel, and I just need to get it. I need to just get it up and out there on all the platforms, you know.
You do.
I just got to get that finished. So.
And you know, I'm going to tell you, Susan, I've said this to you before, that's a big deal. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, I mean, but it's great to be a best-selling author. I mean, on USA Today. That's great enough. But just to actually... And I'm saying this for everybody, write a novel. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty cool. And then to write four of them, okay, and then be successful with it. I mean, that's a big deal. I just want to tell you that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and I anybody else out there that's writing a novel, I say go for it and finish it.
Why not?
That's the first step, is get it done. That's the first step. Yep.
There you go. And did you guys make a change in the now I know, is it IZZIT.org? And then you gave me a second one called civicsfundamentals.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And somebody, yep, either, if it was Susan or Dean, who wants to talk about that? The second is,
well,
civics.
I'll throw it out if it's all right. Basically,
sure.
Civics Fundamentals is a project that isit.org spearheaded. We had the great pleasure of working again with Judge Douglas Ginsburg. He's our narrator, coming off a very successful program that we've done. So Civics Fundamentals we'll talk about a little bit as we get into the show, I'm sure, Larry. But in essence, what it allows is the 100 questions from the USCIS naturalization test, which a lot of high schools in the country are using as a requirement to graduate. We took those questions and went beyond just the rote memorization. In fact, the question is asked and the judge doesn't answer it like, here's the answer. It's the why. So he expounds for about 2+ minutes on each question. So students or those that are trying to become citizens in the country hear a little bit more than how many amendments are there. There's 27. Well, how does an amendment work? Why is it so hard too? So it goes beyond that, just here's the answer, but the why. And as we move forward, we're looking at states to get the program accredited. So we're very, very excited. And when Susan said, I'll get the book out, I'm like, she's got so much work to do, and I encourage her to get the book out. We've got some amazing things going, and we're very busy.
Sure are.
Susan,
That's why the book's not out yet, Larry.
I feel like I started a fight. Susan wants to get the book out. Dean, now you got it here. Okay, that's funny. All right, that is funny. And by the way, everybody, I do want to say one thing. We'll talk about this, we'll talk about civics awareness and civics fundamentals in 2 seconds here. But I want to say something. If some of you who might be my age or a little younger, okay, remember Justice Ginsburg. Okay, and he was nominated. This is who's narrating the Civics Fundamentals and who they're working with. He was nominated to be a Supreme Court justice by President Reagan. Okay, and in those days, which is so damn silly when you think about it today, they found out that when he was 40 years younger, he smoked some marijuana, and that he had a dropout. Okay, and he is a wonderful jurist. I just want to say this. Okay, it's so ridiculous. The guys who had made him drop out all drink 17 martinis at lunch, okay, but he took a hit of marijuana and he couldn't be a Supreme Court justice. And he is an excellent jurist, and he has served on the D.C. Court of Appeals, and he just retired in 2001, but the guy is just, he's really a terrific jurist, and the fact that you were able to grab him and get that to do that, I just wanted to say that because he got an unfair deal back when. Okay, I want everybody to know what a great jurist he was. But Susan, I'll let it go with that.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I want to throw out there is, the reason that we went with this test, besides the fact that, that many states are adopting the immigration and naturalization test as their as their basis. There was a survey done a year or two ago, Larry, and they discovered that 60% of Americans, of natural-born Americans, couldn't pass the test.
Yep, disgusting.
And so that is, like, really sad, really sad.
Disgusting.
So, again, this program was born out of that because we obviously saw that there is a great need for civic awareness. And, again, and it's in many cases today, it's about making students, kind of activists and things like that. Well, that's all well and good, but we kind of all need to have a basic understanding of the foundation in order to do anything. It's not enough to go, well, we want change. Okay, why? And what is it about? What about the basic structure? I was reading an article on the news, just the last couple of days, and it said a bunch of students in Florida, a bunch of college students, mind you, were they were making a petition to toss out the United States Constitution.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what do you propose then in its place? You know, do you have a plan? What is it in particular about the Constitution that you feel is onerous and that it should, we should just toss the baby out with the bathwater as well? So, again, I just think the criticalness right now of making sure that we all have this basic understanding, it's just really important.
And I'm only going to say this, they do not have a basic understanding. A lot of people do not have a basic understanding, and they are they scream about their constitutional rights. Don't get me political here. I'm going to get off my high horse here. Okay,
We don't want that, Larry.
They scream about their constitutional rights. They don't even know what their constitutional rights are, or how to work it, or how to change it. And you know, on that note, I always say this. Okay, 10 years ago or so, we had something called the Tea Party, which was a conservative group within the Republican Party, and everybody moaned and groaned because suddenly Tea Party Republicans were being elected. Oh, okay. And the windup of it was, what people were actually saying is, I'm very jealous of those people in the Tea Party, because those people did everything right according to the Constitution. You may not agree with them, okay, but they gathered together, they protested, they submitted stuff, they submitted candidates, etc. They did everything you were supposed to do, and again, you may not agree with them, but they did it right. Okay, they did. Okay, and you know, you have to be removed a while from politics to really go back in history and see where things go, and that's why this is so important these days, to have civics awareness, because people are screaming and yelling at each other. They don't even know what the hell they're screaming and yelling about. Here we go. I better get off my high horse here. Am I right, Dean? You're social studies guy.
The one thing about the civics fundamentals, Larry, is that it's just that it's really the purity of here's the civics pieces. Here's what the government has decided, the 100, and then at one point it was 128, Trump administration, and then it's back to the 100. But at the end of the day, it's what people have come together and said, these are the very tenets. These are the pieces that every student, really every citizen should know. There's no political party affiliated. There's no taint to it. It's done in such a way, I believe, like all of the ISIT products, that it puts it out there. It's the discussion point. It's getting these kinds of facts, as Susan said. It was the Woodrow Wilson Fellowship Foundation that said, oh, my gosh, 2 out of 3 can't pass the citizenship test here in America. There was another study about Ivy League, the Harvard, and there was something like 50%. And I was like, wow. So for civics awareness for us, we had this program coming out, so we kind of backfilled it. And I had an idea that, reading those stats, talking with my staff, I kind of came up with an idea, and it started here in New Hampshire. I wrote a proclamation to Governor Sununu saying, I'd like to have Civics Awareness Month in October. From that, I actually wrote the proclamation, and we've gotten 8 other states confirmed, and I'm still waiting for 5. That those respective states, New Hampshire being one of them, will participate this October, declaring the whole month Civics Awareness.
Maine? What about me here in Maine?
Working on it, Larry. We're waiting to hear. So that's one of the few that we put out. We're just waiting to hear from the constituent services whether that's going to move forward or not.
Yeah, moving forward here. I think that's wonderful. Congratulations.
We're trying. I mean, I'm still waiting to hear. I just heard Arizona, Montana. So, I mean, all these states are jumping on board, which is great. But at the end of the day, it's what Susan kind of got to. It's what this program's about. It's the proclamation in and of itself is just, I don't want to say the news flash, but it's underscoring student educator engagement. It's getting them to be actively engaged and start to be rigorous involvement with learning in civics education. And you couldn't hit the nail on the head better. And what Susan kind of alluded to is that if we don't understand our own government, how can we expect to intelligently discuss rights or infringements against our rights down the road?
Right.
It's building a foundation for these students. And that's really what the impetus behind the proclamations were. And it's timely because it goes hand in hand with our new product, the Civics Fundamentals.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. Again, congratulations, my good friend, on that, on doing that, Dean. Get, you're a mover and a shaker. You always have been, and I think you getting that together is just, it's just great. I want to go over Civics Fundamentals again. CivicsFundamentals.org. Good to explain the philosophy behind it. Okay, that's wonderful. Susan, tell us exactly what it is.
Great question, Larry. So it's kind of an online course, if you will, but not entirely. As Dean said, it takes each of the 100 questions. So you've got 100 segments, or if you will, questions. Each question has
By the way, I'm going to stop you right there. How much does it cost? Expensive, right?
It is free.
Free. Let's get that
Larry.
Point across. It's
just
free.
Like,
yeah.
Just like all of our, just like all of the isit.org materials, there is no cost to any educator or any student, anything like that. It's no cost to them. So I'm glad let's lead with that because you can't not afford this program, right? And you can't not afford to. Use it. You need to use it. So again, it's about a 2-minute video for each question. There is a teacher's guide. There are vocabulary words because, of course, one of the audiences for this is not just students and their teachers, but also the immigrants who are studying for the naturalization test. So this is like a really great way to study for the test. We have flashcards. We have all kinds of extra. We have also woven in the supplemental videos from isit.org that coordinate with it. So, because of course, for example, we have a piece on the First Amendment, right? So we bring that into the questions where it's relevant, and that's bonus material. So folks can access it and use it if they want to. The one thing to know really is that it is a separate website from isit.org, so it does require another registration and password.
Yes.
So it is kind of a separate thing from isit, but we encourage people to sign up for both because, again,
absolutely,
they are both completely free.
Yeah, and the isit stuff is fabulous right across the board. And this is focused. The Civics Fundamentals is obviously the curriculum you provide focused on civics, which is so darn important. And, actually, I'm going to ask you a question. What grade levels is it for? Susan.
So grade this level. Is for, I would say, 6 through 12 plus, obviously, because, as I said, adults can use it too, and immigrants who are studying for the naturalization test. But I would say it probably can go down to 6th grade, potentially even 5th grade, depending on the teacher and what they're covering with their curriculum, and how you present it with the students. But, really great stuff, and it goes right to the heart of, as Dean said, not just the here's the answer, but here's why they set it up. I've heard folks complain about the Senate. Well, the Senate's not fair because – everybody has two of them, and so, Judge Ginsburg talks about the bicameral Congress and the Great Compromise, how, yes, we do have equal representation in the Senate, but the House of Representatives, on the other hand, goes the other way. So
the House of Representatives is the people's house. Okay. The Senate is where temperatures supposedly go to cool, but they usually don't these days.
No, they don't. That is the truth. But I think it could be so fifth, sixth, all the way up.
Yeah. And, your point is that's a great point to bring up, is the bicameral legislation, okay, and the equal representation for each state. This has come up time and time again. Bill Maher on his show always brings it up that California, with 40 million people, has the same number of senators as a North Dakota or Rhode Island or a Maine or whatever. Go ahead, Dean. You want to say something?
No, I'm just going to say that's another piece we're working on for, if you will, another project, and that's the Electoral College. Everyone talks about it. Everyone's like, we could remove it, but Patterson, New Jersey, the small plan, and, Madison with the Virginia plan, and Sherman gets them together and says, I'm from Connecticut. I'm small.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, if people understand that for college, if not, then I would just campaign in 16 or 18 states and win. So it's that equity piece. It couldn't be, like, ring more true on your show, Larry, that it's an equity component.
It is.
And when you hear and you talk that way with students, like, it's almost that aha moment. And, you know, you hear me getting racing and you hear Susan. We're excited about a lot of the things that we have already, stuff that's just been released, and a lot of the projects that we're getting funding for to move forward. So it's almost like the perfect storm for Is It.
Right. It really is. Is storm a good word? A perfect harmony.
I think so, because
perfect
a lot
harmony.
Of change. Storm
perfect harmony.
Right.
Yeah. So I think the storm is change, and there's some good change coming.
I was going to say, how many videos are in civics? Are in the civics fundamentals?
100.
Well,
and then plus, you know, like I said, right, 100.
And
one
each
for
is
each
about
question.
2 minutes. And each is about
correct.
2 minutes. Okay.
Right.
I want to ask this. Susan, what's your favorite question? Or maybe when you said it, what's your second favorite?
My goodness. Oh, my goodness.
There's 100 questions, okay, that are
right.
answered. That's a lot, okay? And which brings up how complicated and detailed it is. Okay, we do have to make that easier, which is great. Okay, so what else? What's something that like, popped that you were maybe surprised at or something? I think it's cool.
I really do like explaining those basics that we just talked about, the bicameral Congress, and why do we have that and how does it work? And but again, some of the interesting questions, you know, what age are you allowed to vote? And so it's not just, well, what age are you allowed to vote in a federal election? But it talks about how, you know, how did we get the change to 18-year-olds? Because before that, it was all 21-year-olds.
I remember.
Why did they make that? And why did they make that change? Because, again, that's an important one, you know. And, of course, Judge also brings up that, you know, some places are thinking we should let 16-year-olds vote, and he's not quite sure about that. But he said maybe if they take a civics class,
right.
then maybe we'll think about it.
Yeah, if you pass a civics test, you'll be allowed to vote at age 16. You know what's scaring me about this conversation? All this stuff going from 21 to 18 as an age of voting. I was actually alive when that happened. I don't like being old enough to be part of history. I don't like
to remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's
hilarious. I get it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dean.
I think another cool part of the civics piece is because, again, we don't generate those questions. That's from the naturalization services. But what I love is, and you said being the old social studies guy, I love the fact that there's questions that also bring in or infuse geography. I don't want to say it's a dead thing, but, I, you know, you look at 2 out of 3 can't pass a citizenship. How many can't identify states, capitals? I mean, I remember having the maps in 4th, 5th grade. Talk about being old.
Sure.
We have to know every state, every capital. I love the fact that someone living in Florida, it's like, what states border Canada? Conversely, you're in Montana, what states border Mexico? So I think it's a great thing for our students as well to also have not just the history, not just the civics, but there's a little geography in there too, and you know your country. And I think that's kind of unique too, because when I look through the questions and had seen the test in earlier years, I just love how there's history, there's specific parts or time frames of history, there's the civics, there's the systems of government, there's the symbols. I think all that together makes students understand, I think maybe deeply appreciate more things that, now that's starting to make sense. And again, it's that aha moment.
It really is an aha moment. You know, it's funny you would mention that. In 4th or 5th grade, I remember, this will actually make you guys laugh, I remember, okay, the teacher made us all be a state, okay? And then you had to memorize who were, you know, we'd actually line up as like a living map. The kid who was, I was Louisiana, I still remember that. So the kid who was like Texas would have to stand to my left, so to speak, okay? And I still remember, but the funny thing about it was, this is in Philadelphia in the 1950s, the classes were so huge, there were 48 states, okay, and she had to make 2 kids, Hawaii and Alaska, before they were states, okay, to make sure every kid was named something. There were 50 kids in that class. 50 kids.
Wow. Wow.
It, it, It didn't dawn on me till 25 years. There were 50 kids in that class.
Wow.
Okay, and
That's a lot of kids.
She controlled us like over 50 trained lions. She was pretty good. Okay. Philadelphia, right? It's just absolutely amazing. But your point is well taken. I still remember that stuff. And the geography, we read here about how Idaho's right now having terrible trouble with COVID. You know, you got to be able to point to that on a map and see how it affects. And it affects Eastern Washington. People are going filling the hospitals in Eastern Washington, even though they're from Idaho. And, it brings us as a country. It makes people understand that what you guys are doing. This is so darn important. And I'll tell you, to jump on the naturalization test and make that really part and parcel of what you're doing, oh, man, it's just so darn important. You got to feel good about all this, guys, right? You do.
We do. And, you know, a lot of work went into this. We've been scrambling for quite a number of months.
Actually,
and the end's in sight, so we're very proud of
it. The beginning's in sight, okay? It's not the end. We want it to be
true.
The beginning. You know, really do. And, you know, that's actually just brought up something interesting. Susan, what did it take to put this together? Seriously.
A lot of people, a lot of hours, basically this kind of thing, we started with, obviously, we had a framework to work with because we had the 100 questions. But it starts with research and script writing. And then there were the myriad filmings with Judge Ginsburg because, again, 100, you know, people I don't think understand really what it would take to film 100 two-minute video. You know, you're like, oh, it's a two-minute video. How much work could go into it? Well, so not only that, but once it was filmed, it had to be brought in. It had to be edited. We had to add graphical treatments to it. We had to add music to it and sound effects and all these kinds of things. Once the video itself is done and everybody has looked at it and given input and we've tweaked it and improved it, you know, there has to be a transcript made. There has to be closed captionings made. One thing that's not quite ready but is in the works is we're going to have captions in Spanish for all of these episodes eventually. Yeah. But so that's another element of it. The teacher's guide has to be written. The website has to be designed and built and, you know, all of that. So it is a lot of moving parts. And like I said, hours and hours of the isit.org team, all of them. And the IZIT team has done a bang-up job and put in a lot of hard work. Yeah.
And all this, again, I'm going to say it again, all this to produce free resources for educators and students.
Right.
Free.
Larry,
I'd
be remiss if I also didn't say thanks to the funders, because when we say no cost, free, and educators and family members go, hey, someone had to pay for it, and we've got, thank goodness, a great list of funders that say this is making an impact for student learning. What do you need? And in a day and age where that doesn't happen all the time, again, we're very fortunate to have not just I couldn't speak higher of my team. I always have put them first. But we also have some great funders that see the vision, and they're actually believing in, like, Susan, myself, the whole team, you know, Shane, Charles, all the groups together are saying, you know what, you guys have a vision and a passion for education. So we're blessed in that area as well.
You really are. That's a nice thing to say, and thank you for saying that. I must ask one other question. Judge Ginsburg, how did you get in touch with him? How did you contact him? Dean?
Well, we're lucky because he's done some projects for us, and as a sitting judge, and he's considered retired, but he still is I don't want to say a substitute, he still sits and actually does have work. But he's really literally hot off the heels. He did a three-part PBS series for us called A More or Less Perfect Union, and it kind of hit because this, I don't want to say interest or newfound, but an interest in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And it's a new project, Civics Fundamentals, and he just – all this is volunteer. All of this work, the re-scripting, the rewriting, all of this is volunteer on his end. He doesn't get a dime.
Wow.
So it's an amazing passion for him. If you can imagine a sitting judge, now retired, somewhat semi-retired, just sitting there saying, okay, still teaches the law at a university, and saying, you know, civics really is that important, and what can I do to help? It's great to say that it's important. It's great for people to say, yeah, that's kind of something we should. He actually stands up and says, what do you need?
He actually does it.
So with the project presented, you know, he was part of the early stages. You got 39 states now requiring some sort of civics education and options for curriculum. And he was, I think the strongest supporter right away in saying that when you look at a teaching lesson, what's the most important question? The why. And he's made it such a way that, and I'm going to tell everyone again, civicsfundamentals.org. If you take a look and you go look at kind of the demo, how it works, the demo course, and you can register, there's no cost. Again, it's free. You're going to see how it works. And, you know, we got, again, lucky because he sits there and he takes 100 questions on the citizenship, the immigration test, and he just explores the why. And as Susan said, he goes on and says, what about, what if? So to me, we always tell everyone that is it.org, you know, critical thinking starts here. Well, that is critical thinking. It's layer after layer. It's the onion. It's law school. It's the Socratic method. He pulls back those layers, and you're immersed in it. And I don't want to say it for at lack of respect. It's actually total respect. It's almost grandfatherly in his approach. You listen to a man
who's
incredible voice, unbelievable, unbelievable knowledge base, and you just sit there, and it's not as a student, and I still am a student. I'm still trying to learn, and I listen to him. It's like it's not boring. It's not the always pointing the finger.
That's right.
It's almost this genuine conversation that makes you want to say, wow. And again, to move beyond that rote memorization of facts that just dominates history, social studies, you remember, Larry, it's who won the Civil War, what general? It's like, well, what's the bigger picture? How did we get there?
Exactly.
And that's really what this is about, you know, the deeper question.
It is so important. And I'll tell you, and what you saw with Justice Ginsburg, excuse me, I keep saying that, Judge Ginsburg, what you saw with that, it's usually the same. With almost any, he's not a politician, but someone who's famous like that from the world of politics and government, all right? Once you get them away from that CNN spotlight where they have to say the rote thing, okay, they're usually nice and intelligent and thoughtful, all right? And to show that to people, to me, is incredibly important. I mean, what Judge Ginsburg did for you guys and for the country, okay, is just really something. Were his answers made up as he was asked the question, or was he reading from a script he wrote, or how did it work?
Well,
Susan?
Well,
or
well,
Dean, I'm sorry, whoever, yeah.
Dean, you want to go? I'm happy to take
well,
it.
I'll start. Basically, you can't change the answer is the answer because we're trying to, again, this could be for an immigrant trying to get their citizenship. So the answer is the answer is the answer. The why that's
what I mean.
Founding a paper. I wouldn't say it's script, but he wrote down his notes because then he condensed it and then he did it again and again and again. Why? Because he's got 2 minutes to really kind of give a clear cut message as here's the answer that you got to know.
It's a lot of work.
You're taking it. But nothing. He just said, I want to do this. And I get it because it's like, who does the hours upon hours of deep research and making sure that he can succinctly say to a high school student, as Susan said, from sixth grade through 16, plus a person that's coming here to try and legally become a citizen, and say in 2 minutes what you believe is the heart and soul of the why to that question.
The other thing I will say is we fact check this. Even though he's, you know, a judge and he's an expert and we had other experts, I mean, our job is to make sure that everything that we present is correct.
Right.
Well, you know, because you accidentally missay something or whatever, you know. You meant to say one thing, but your brain took a left turn and you say something else. So, you know, Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you believe that, what Larry just said. You know, so again, it is that is part of it, is fact-checking all this stuff to be sure that we are presenting accurate, factual information.
Yeah, you guys do that. You do that all the time. I mean, again, everybody, we got to go in just a minute. Is it? .org, I-Z-Z-I-T-T, excuse me, I-Z-Z-I-T.
No, one.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, IZZIT.org. Okay. And civicsfundamentals.org. Okay. It's really
right.
good stuff. Dean, Susan, you outdid yourselves this time. You guys did great.
Larry, thank
Amazing.
You. Larry.
Oh, are you kidding
you.
Me? It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And now fall is here. We can all get out our rakes. Okay? Time to start raking.
Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
I know. It's unbelievable. No pun intended. It seems eerie. No, so it's eerie PA.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Be good, guys. We'll talk again soon, I promise. Keep this up. This is fabulous.
Larry,
all right, Larry. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, everybody. Susan Gable and Dean Graziano from IZZIT.org. It's great free resources, but now a little deeper with an extra website, civicsfundamentals.org. Check it out. Check out what we're doing over at our new website, seltoday.org, all about social-emotional learning. This show will be archived over at ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity and education. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Happy autumn.